We're going to turn to God's words tonight, and we turn again in our series looking at different things that we're setting aside. We're turning tonight to the book of James. We're going to be looking at chapter 3, verses 1 to 12 as the main body, but on that same page, page 1214 in your pew Bibles, you'll see, actually, you've got chapter 1, verse 26. So I want to read it first, and then we'll go into James chapter 3, 1 to 12. So if you turn to page 1214 in your pew Bibles, let's turn to God's Word. Beginning at chapter 1, verse 26, this is what it says. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Going to chapter 3 and verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Amen. This is the word of God. Before we turn to it tonight, let's pray. Father God, as we turn to your word, we ask for wisdom, for insight and understanding from your Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds and hearts and shape us and fashion us to be more like Christ. Use your servant's words wisely and take up what must be heard and let anything else fall away. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone thinks he is religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Or, in the ESV's rendering of this phrase, if anyone does not bridle their tongue, that person's religion is worthless. What a thought. What a thought for each one of us here, because actually, hopefully, I'm pretty certain all of us have tongues. If none of us, or any of us, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, that person's religion is worthless. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. When I got the list of the sermons to preach and the things to do, I thought I was onto a winner. Number one, because when Alistair sent me through this section, which was James chapter 1, 26, I thought, but thank you. It's only one verse, I'm sorted. Obviously, I believe James 3 has more to say on the issue of our tongue and how it's used. But I thought, yes, brilliant. And if you've been with us in the evening services, you'll realize that really what our evening services are about is about laying down things in order to take up the kingdom of heaven, or giving up things in our walk for the Lord. And so, as I looked along the list and saw my name beside Say No to Gossip and James 1:26, I thought, easy. Nobody in Wellington would be a gossip anyway. And secondly, it's easy. We can convince people that gossiping's bad. I don't have to convince anybody of that. And it's easy enough. But as the weeks rolled in, as I began to read more of James, it became plain to me that James is not just talking about gossip here. James, in James chapter 3, unloads everything that he means to say about the tongue. After opening with such hard words in James 1:26, basically saying, look, if you do not control your tongue or what you say, if you can't control it, if you can't bridle it, if you can't control it, your religion, your faith is worthless. Pretty bold thing to say. And then in chapter 3, he unpacks it more and more to look in greater depth as to several aspects of the dangers of a tongue, and an unbridled tongue primarily. And as I read it and began to read verse 1, you'll see why it's particularly difficult for someone who's doing what I'm doing right now. But what I believe James chapter 3 highlights for us tonight, folks, is the importance of how we use our tongues as Christians. How we speak. How we talk. Whether that be about God or with others. Yes, included in that is that we should not gossip. That's a given. But tonight, my hope and prayer is that as we unpack James 3, 1 to 12, and we see some of the lessons that James has to teach us about our tongues and what we say, that yeah, you'll be challenged, because I was. Yes, my prayer will be that it shapes and molds us to be more like Christ. But more than that, that as you leave here tonight, that little piece of flesh in your mouth that can so often shape your life and others would be something you consider should be under the Lordship of Christ. So let's turn to James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. The first thing that James highlights for us is how the tongue may be a little thing, but it has big influence. If you look at verses 1 to 5, this is what we read. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. James opens up this section in his book, where he's trying to explain how to put meat onto faith. He writes a letter here the whole way through about basically saying, look, it's great to say you have a faith, but faith has to take shape in your actions. And now he's going to deal with your words. James wants us to see that our words are important, and our tongue, which we use to speak, should be tamed. It's particularly hard as you see what the warning itself says. The irony being that in order to teach what James says about being slow to be a teacher, I have to stand up and teach it. So that's pretty hard for me to do right now. For me to stand up and to teach and to guide when you consider the warning that James gives. And it's pretty blatant. He says, don't be quick to teach. Because if you want to teach others, If you want to share, if you want to guide, if you want to use your tongue to direct the paths of other people, that's what teaching is. Using your words to shape and mold people. Then you will be judged more strictly. Pretty hard to believe. Pretty difficult to take in. But actually so very apt. Because the truth is, those who teach hold a particular power, and know it's not the ability to lull you into a deep slumber, although it sometimes is. But those who stand up on platforms like this, or in today's day and age, those who use the media, those who use blogs, Facebook, websites, whatever it may be, to use their words to shape and guide your beliefs, or to point anybody in a direction, in essence, they are teachers, or at least trying to be. And we know fine rightly, when we consider ourselves and our denomination and everything that's gone on over the past 2 weeks, that there are plenty of people in this world who see themselves as teachers and have taken the opportunity to use a platform to share their opinions, to share their thoughts, to guide and to shape. Now, I'm not going to jump in tonight to any of that debate. The point I want to make, and I want you to realize here, is whilst it seems strange for James to start a whole section about the tongue by telling teachers to be careful, it's actually so apt. Because a teacher is the perfect example of a person who uses their tongue to guide others, who uses their words to direct others down a path. They might not be listened to, they may be entirely ignored, but their desire and their hope is that what they say will shape and guide someone's life. Now, to be clear, there's other factors that affect that. Look, God is involved and graciously takes feeble words and uses them for his glory. His grace, this Holy Spirit, can shape and change things. But ultimately, those who stand on platforms, those who use media, those who use their tongue to shape and guide people's lives are trying to be teachers. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, okay, it's a pretty grave warning to them that they'll be judged more harshly. Why? Well, because it's pretty simple. If I have stood up here tonight and I've used my words to direct you, there's only really two directions I can point you in, especially in a spiritual context, either closer to Christ or further from him. Either I've honestly and rightfully and in a godly manner divided the word of God in such a way that when I've stood here and spoken to you, I've pointed you closer to Christ, or I've pointed you somewhere else. And that is the simple truth. And there will be a day where I will stand before my Lord, and I will stand before him, and he will tell me whether what I've done tonight, what I've done umpteen times from here, was right. Whether I pointed you in a good direction, a godly one, or elsewhere. And so, in saying that, James is right when he says that those who use their tongue to guide other people, that those who use their tongue to direct other people in directions like a teacher, if we do that, we do so with fear and trepidation, because our words will either point you to God or further from him. And why does that matter? Maybe you're saying to me, okay, Jonathan, okay, that's great. Maybe you should be scared standing up here, but that doesn't matter to me. That doesn't matter to me. Surely I'm not a teacher. Why should I worry about it? Because I'll explain something to you right now. In today's day and age, in the ancient world, you had one or two educated people or a few who would stand up and share their views and people would listen. Nowadays, we all have platforms. I could take a poll of who has Facebook pages, in here? Lots of you do. But not even just on Facebook. Your WhatsApp. Let's talk about maybe your friendship circle, where you can influence, direct, guide people with your words. And I think it's vitally important for you to realize that, especially young folk. In a world today where we're told our opinions matter all the time, the things you put on a Facebook page, the things you put on a blog, the things you write, which are your thoughts or your words, on those places, if you're trying to influence people by using them, you are placing yourself in a place of a teacher. So listen to James's warning. What was it? That not many should presume to be teachers, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. Maybe I'm laying heavy on this evening, but I think it's important for us to grasp. Our words impact people. And if you're using your words to shape and guide people, take a few moments before you put it on a Facebook page, on a WhatsApp, before you say it, and consider that someday you will stand before the Lord and have to give an account of how you used your tongue. It should be scary. Should be something we are thoughtful about. So, James warns us. He warns us quite clearly in that first verse, but he goes on to explain, using three analogies, why the tongue is so important. He uses three pictures in the world. He uses the picture of a horse with a bit in the mouth. He uses the picture of a large ship. And finally, he uses the picture of a forest fire. In the first two, he uses the examples of how a little item can direct a big thing. How a bit in a horse's mouth allows you to direct it, to guide it. How a rudder on a ship helps the pilot direct it in the right direction. And then he uses the picture of a small spark starting a forest fire to show us how little things can make big impacts. And ultimately, he then explains to us that the tongue is the same. That the tongue can cause both great help in guiding and shaping, but also can cause huge damage. There's that great old saying that you always say to children. Say, sticks and stones don't break my bones, or break my bones, but words can never hurt me. If you've ever, ever received any harsh words to you, you know that's not true. The reality is that words can have huge impact in people's lives. And so, ultimately, what James wants us to see is that our tongues matter. What we say, how we say it, matters. It's not just a flapping little piece of flesh. It can cause great damage. It can shape people's lives. And if you want to stand on platforms and use your words to shape people's lives, do so with great fear and trepidation, because you will be judged more strictly. Because God will judge you for the results. So if I've not put you off ever speaking to anyone ever again, what else do we see? We see that our tongues, small though they may be, make big impacts. But in the second place, we see James teaches us that the tongue is an untamable evil. Look at verses 68. Continuing on with his picture of fire from his previous statement in 5, he says this: the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile of the sea and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So if he hasn't got the point over yet, and I haven't tonight. Your tongue is powerful. Your words are powerful. They can shape and mold lives. They can destroy lives. So it's important to pay heed to them. But now he tells us, pretty blatantly, that our tongues are wicked and evil and horrendous and set fire and destroy. And look through the list. It's pretty damning. So there we go. Time to go home, folks. Tongues that are evil and can't be tamed by human beings. And so really, you're probably either sitting here saying one or two things. Either you're making your vows of silence right now, or thinking about ways that you'll never speak or never communicate with people. Or you're probably switching off as you're saying, James's view on speech is pretty high. I can never attain to that. What am I to do? And just ignore him. Well, actually, the truth is, James just repeats what a lot of Scripture has to say. Different parts of Scripture also highlight the danger of the tongue. Psalm 120, verses 2 to 3, says this, the psalmist writes, "Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue?" Psalmist acknowledging people's propensity to lie. What about Proverbs 16:27? "A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire." Again, the proverb highlights how speech of a worthless man can be destructive. Even Christ, to Peter in Matthew 15:18-19, says this, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." And so Jesus, in explaining to Peter that eating defiled foods doesn't corrupt, highlights how actually the wickedness of our sinful hearts often comes out in our speech. James isn't alone in telling you tonight and telling us tonight that our tongues have that potential and the propensity to do damage, to cause fires, to harm and to hurt. He uses the word filled with poison. He is not particularly enamored by the tongue. He wants to highlight that this little thing is filled with the possibility of causing great and heinous and dreadful harm to others. So should we go home, turn off our Facebook pages, delete them, stop speaking to anyone? Certainly you can join a monastic order who would tell you you should stay quiet for days and months. But I don't think that's where James is going with this. Because notice what he says. He says there, no human being can tame the tongue. No human, in their own strength, by their own power, can ever hope to make this little thing do what they want all of the time. No human. No matter how strong, no matter how wise, even, I'm going to say this tonight, I want to be clear, we're told in James 1:26 that a person with the unbridled tongue's religion is false. And for many, the assumption will be, okay, to bridle my tongue, I talk less. Nowhere are we told in James that that's the solution. In fact, there's many a person who doesn't say many words, but their tongues are unbridled. Let me say that again. There's many a person who doesn't say many words, but tongues are unbridled. This is not about saying more or saying less words. This is not James saying, look, if you speak too much and you say too much, you will cause damage. He is saying no human being, whether they speak a lot or a little, no human being can tame the tongue. You can go home and decide that you're not going to speak very much at all. You can go home and decide to take a vow of silence. You can even be extreme and cut the tongue out if you really want. Please don't actually. I am being slightly facetious here, so if anybody goes home and cuts their tongue out, I'm in trouble. So please don't do that. Because the point is, all of those are just human attempts to tame the tongue. They are just human attempts to tame the tongue. Because what we see James pointing us to is a very simple thing. That the tongue that is unbridled always, at some stage or other, causes damage because it's filled with poison, it is a consuming fire, it will destroy, and it will damage. Any unbridled tongue, whether it speaks a lot or not at all, can cause damage. As MacArthur in his commentary highlights, James has told us no human being can tame the tongue. Only God, by his power, can do this. In other words, we have a little tiny tongue which can impact people in huge ways. And by our human selves, it's nothing but destructive, if we're honest. We can try and stop speaking a little bit more. We can try and think a bit more, and it may help. But at some stage, it will continue to spread its venom and its poison. The only way for us to bridle our tongue is by turning our tongue over to the Lord. And what I mean by that is that we need, brother and sister in Christ, to realize that our discipleship involves this too. That our discipleship involves this. It involves what we say. It involves how we speak to other people. Because remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15. What was it that he said to Peter? From the overflow of the heart come the words. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, okay, Jonathan, I get it. I shouldn't speak so much. I shouldn't speak callously. I shouldn't say inappropriate things. I shouldn't do this or that, not speak in certain ways, whatever. But what am I to do about it? A vow of silence won't fix it. Cutting your tongue out wouldn't even really fix it because it's a heart matter. It's not a tongue matter. At the end of the day, what the issue is over your heart. Our speech comes from the overflow of our hearts. That's what Jesus says on it. And in fact, that's why when you look at the latter verses, verses 9 to 12 in James, notice what he says. He says this, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. He wants to show the hypocrisy of praising the Lord with your mouth in here on Sunday and then tearing people to shreds, maybe even before you've gone out the door. He wants to show the hypocrisy of claiming great claims for Jesus Christ and then telling the whole world the intricate details that you don't even know fully of other people's lives around about. In other words, what James wants us to see, brother and sister in Christ, is we cannot praise the Lord with this tongue and then go about slandering, maligning, mistreating, speaking cursings, tearing down, showing the exact opposite of godly character with the same tongue. We cannot do it. This ought not to be so, is what James says. Because it's hypocrisy at its best. It's just a blatant example of hypocrisy. When you testify about the grace and the love and the goodness of Jesus Christ and you tear others down with your tongue the next second. Jesus puts it another way, just in case you think James is off course. Jesus in Matthew 12 puts it like this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Speaking to the Pharisees, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned." Jesus makes it very clear. Your words demonstrate where your heart is. Your words show what you love. Your words and the way you speak them. How you tell someone truth matters. We are privileged, brother and sister in Christ, to be in one of the parts of the world that is blessed with having God's revelation, His Word, in the most abundance. You can get it in multitude of different versions, with different covers, different colors, different letter fonts, different versions. You can get it umpteen places in the high street. You are blessed with the revelation of Christ, with His truth, in your houses, on your phones, on your tablets, around about you, plastered on walls up and down this town. God's truth is exclaimed and put everywhere, but how we speak it matters. How we speak about Jesus Christ and His love matters, and we know that as a denomination these past 2 weeks. What have we had? People who have platforms tearing down other people, criticizing, doing all sorts of things. And there are truths that we are to stand by, brother and sister in Christ, glorious truths about who God is and what He has done for us. But how you tell people that matters. And James is abundantly clear that you cannot exclaim the glories and the goodness of God with this tongue and then rip people apart with the same one. You cannot do that. Because as Christ makes clear, the reality that that shows is the state of your heart. And so tonight, what can I say to you? Apart from the fact that your tongue has a huge impact, small though it may be. Apart from the fact that your tongue, without being bridled, is a poisonous, venomous, dangerous thing. Then what can I point you to? Because it's a heart matter. Brother and sister in Christ, if you're here tonight and you're saying, "I need to bridle my tongue," then it begins by falling on your knees and asking for God to pour out His Spirit upon you. Remember what the fruit of the Spirit are. Go to Galatians 5 and you'll see. It says, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and this is the key: self-control. And I fear that for many of us, we have the truth, and the truth has set us free, yes, but we do not let the Holy Spirit bridle our tongues when we want to share it. You are called, the Bible makes clear that we are called to use our tongues. It's not that we shouldn't speak. We're to explain to the world about the hope we have in season and out of season. We have been given a glorious testimony of how God has changed our life. But if we are letting our tongue be bridled by the Holy Spirit, by God Himself, guided, shaped, molded, then our speech will be seasoned with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Instead of that list that James talks about, a tongue that's poisonous, filled with fire, destructive, untamable. And folks, I guess if I was to ask you, and I'm not going to take the poll out loud, but if I was to ask you, to ask yourselves, maybe even a better way of doing it wouldn't be ask yourselves, to poll your friends, poll the people who know you the best, and ask them what they say of your speech. I wonder what they'd say. Would they say, Johnny, oh yeah, he speaks with love about everyone, about how God came into his life. He speaks with a joy. He has a great patience, kindness. He's faithful to this God that he talks about. He's self-controlled. I wonder, would they say that about you? Because I want to be abundantly clear here tonight. Abundantly clear. As Alistair made clear this morning, if you're a Christian here tonight, the Holy Spirit indwells you and gives you all that is required to bridle your tongue. Yes, it may come through tears and through difficulty. Yes, it may come through learning how to be quiet, through sometimes listening instead of speaking. But you, brother and sister in Christ, have been given the Holy Spirit so that you can have those gifts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And so that you can bridle the tongue you have in your head. And I want that to be clear tonight. I know that many of you will have questions and have had questions over the past 2 weeks over what's happened. And I want to continue to say to you, please talk to us about it. Talk to us, whether it's Alistair, Eleanor, myself, whoever. Talk to us about any of the concerns, any of the questions. But know this, when you talk to others about it, if you are a child of Christ, bridle your tongue. Pray for strength from the Holy Spirit. Pray for wisdom so that you can share the Word of God, the truths of God, with love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, and kindness, goodness, that fruit of the Spirit. Because I would hate for people to say of me, and I would hate for people to say of you, that with the same tongue they praise the Lord, and with the same tongue they curse people. Folks, this is not an easy sermon to stand and deliver. Mostly because I will be judged by what I've said tonight with greater strictness than anyone else. But my prayer above everything is that as you seek to focus on Jesus Christ, the one who gave his all so you would have life and freedom and liberty, that you would turn to him, see in him the loving, sacrificial kindness he showed for you, and learn how to bridle your tongue. I don't say this as an expert tonight. I'll be honest, in my time away in Argentina as a missionary, after about 18 months, I had a mentor. And after 18 months, when I was leaving and several other people were leaving, they gushed over everybody, telling them how much they'd learnt and how much they'd seen them grow. It came to Johnny. They gushed a bit. Don't worry about that. It wasn't very harsh to me. But my mentor said, Johnny, when you started, I couldn't have a conversation with you. Now I can speak to you. And with that, he ended his comment. But his point was this. I was quick to talk and slow to listen. I am still learning how to bridle my tongue. But as James points out in James 1:26,
If anyone considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Let that not be true for you or for me. Let's pray. Father God, as we ponder what your word has to say, Lord, we ask that the things you want us to learn, the challenges you want us to take, would not fall away. As we're ministered to by song, help to burrow it deeper into our heart. In Christ's name we pray.